All right, welcome back. Hour number two, Adam the Bull with you here on CBS Sports Radio, and we're coming to you live from the Quicken Loans studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Joining me now, talk some NFL from ProFootballGuru.com, Russell Baxter. Russell, how you been, man? What's going on?
Oh, how have you been? I seem to recall the last time we spoke, it was a late night in Canton, Ohio.
Yeah, I could see that. That was probably true. I was doing late nights for a while. Well, it's good to have you back. You know, I was just talking last segment. And I know this is radical and crazy and never going to happen, but you know, I was reading an article yesterday about this, and I as crazy as it seems, I was talking about the idea of if they got rid of field goals and extra points from the NFL. And the idea of going for two all the time, or maybe you make it, you know, you from the 1 yard line, it's 1 point, from the 3 yard line, two, no field goals, forcing teams to go for it, be aggressive on fourth down. I know it's crazy, but what's your thoughts on it?
Well, I think the people in Canton, Ohio would be very upset because they have to change the building to the Pro Bowl Hall of Fame. because you just took the foot out of football.
Well, there's not much foot in football, period, at this point.
Well, I will say this. I think the decision to move the PAT back a couple of years ago, it turned out to be brilliant because now it is something that has to be tried. And that automatic is not so automatic. And we've seen it with the veteran kickers as well.
True.
Okay. So, you know, I think teams wind up forcing themselves to be aggressive, Adam, on the 2-point conversion because the kicking game has been it's been actually a pretty shaky 5 weeks for kickers.
Definitely.
And not just in Green Bay and not just in Cleveland. Well, to be really honest with you, special teams around the league have really taken a beating the first 5 weeks. I mean, I saw two games last week. Odell Beckham, ball off of him into the end zone on a punt return, touchdown Carolina. Ball off of Green Bay Packers, set up the Lions at the 1 yard line. That's just on fielding a punt. So, you know, I think that comes also with the fact that, you know, training camp isn't what training camp used to be. I don't think you get as much time to really prepare all the facets of the game. And I think the two aspects that probably hurt the most, Adam, are offensive line play and special teams.
Yeah. No, you're right. No doubt about it. We're talking with Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. We've seen a lot of changes and a lot of things in a negative fashion that way. In a positive fashion, at least I look at it this way, and I'm curious if you do. I think the NFL has more parity than it's ever had. I mean, almost every team in football either has two or three wins. I think you have five teams with only one win, and you have, what, four teams that have four or five wins? And then you have 23 teams with either two or three wins. I know it's early, but it seems like there's not much on the top and not much on the bottom and everybody towards the middle. Is it more than ever, or is that prisoner of the moment?
No, I don't think that's prisoner of the moment. I think we've seen that the last couple of years. And remember what we saw last year. We saw a team make the playoffs for the first time since 99. We saw a team make the playoffs for the first time since 2004.
Yeah.
One since 2007, one since 2008, one win its first Super Bowl ever, two teams that came from last place to win division titles, including the Eagles, who won the whole shebang. So, no, I don't think you're far off at all. I think it is you look at every year you have a team come from just about every year, last to first in this league. It's just how it is. There's a lack of continuity on most teams' part. There's a lack of depth around the league. You're one or two vital. And look at Atlanta. They've lost the middle of their defense. Ricardo Allen, Keanu Neal, Grady Jarrett, and Deion Jones. They've given up 121 points in the last 3 weeks alone. So it doesn't take long. And Atlanta, by the way, Adam, Atlanta was the only team in the NFC last year to go back to the playoffs. The other five teams missed.
Yeah, and we could see a lot of that again this year. Speaking of long droughts and bad kickers, you mentioned the Cleveland Browns briefly. The Browns have not gone to the playoffs since 2002. They haven't had a winning record since 2007. They haven't won a playoff game since the 1994 season before the team was ripped out of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. The Browns are clearly better. They're 2-2-1. It looks like they have fine. It's early because it's only 2.5 games for him. But it looks like for the first time since Bernie Kosar, they have found their quarterback of the future. Do you think the Browns are a legitimate playoff contender?
Yes, they are. And I say that because they finally managed to do something last week they hadn't done in 3 years. And now the next thing they need to do, Adam, is do something else they haven't done in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
They finally won a game in the division.
That's right.
So it's hard to be a contender in any division if you are winless in, 18 straight games against
That's
the
right.
division?
Yes.
They've also lost 23 straight games on the road. So
that's
the
right.
next bugaboo, because if they intend on losing all their road games,
yeah,
that's not going to work. But this is how you build. You chip away at these, I don't want to say milestones. They're almost like lowlights for a team that's been so bad so long. It's been a while since they won two games in a row.
Yes.
They have a chance to do that when they beat the Chargers. By the way, the Chargers was the only team that Hugh Jackson beat in 2 years.
That's
his first
right.
2 years in the job. So that's, to me, is a very fascinating game within the conference tomorrow. So, yeah, I think there are. No one's running away with any division except for the NFC West. And it was one of those weeks this past week, Adam, where it was everybody settled down. Look at the AFC East. Everybody won except Miami.
Right.
The AFC North, everyone won except Baltimore.
Right.
The AFC South, everyone lost except Houston. And now in those three divisions, teams that like Buffalo and Houston that stumbled out of the gate suddenly find themselves right in the mix.
Do you think the AFC North is the best division of football?
It's been the most competitive top to bottom, with the exception of Cleveland for a long time. And now that Cleveland's kind of in the fray, I think it is. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that in terms of coaching continuity, there's not a division that's close to it. Marvin Lewis since 2003, Tomlin since 2007, Harbaugh since 2008.
Yeah.
So, and you wonder why. I mean, you know this. There were years not only did the AFC North send two teams to the playoffs, they sent three.
Yep.
So, and always a battle-tested team. We've obviously seen the Steelers and the Ravens in their share of Super Bowls, these last 10 years. Cincinnati can't win a playoff game, and on a couple occasions, they wind up losing to Pittsburgh at home in the playoffs. So,
right.
Yeah, I think from top to bottom, I would have said before the year began, it was the NFC North. But Detroit is far too erratic, and I'm not quite sure what to think of the Packers these days.
We're talking with Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. Russell, you mentioned the one division that seems to be over already. The Rams already have a 3-game lead on Seattle, and they've already beaten them. Are the Rams the best team in football? Is it Kansas City? Is it somebody else? It seems like it's those two teams right now. Who do you like the best?
Well, I lean a little toward the Rams because of the consistency of the running game. That being said, defensively, they've given up 31 points 2 weeks in a row. And that's got to be concerning. A lot of times when you're really aggressive on defense, and remember, they're down a key to lead. It's a known fact, Adam, that it's hard to sack the quarterback when the running back has the football.
No doubt.
We saw the Seahawks last week run for 190 yards. I think people forget that last year, despite the Rams' success, they were 28th in the league in run defense, which is very un-Wade Phillips-like, to say the least. Kansas City, to me, has playmakers on defense, and they have to have those plays. Kansas City won a game last week without a Pat Mahomes touchdown. He threw two picks, and yet they won comfortably because they got five takeaways. That's the thing with Kansas City. If Kansas City doesn't necessarily get the takeaways, they're very vulnerable. They're playing a New England team that doesn't necessarily turn over the ball a lot.
We're talking with Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. Russell, when you look at the NFC East, obviously it's been off to a terrible start. The Eagles did play well against the Giants this week. But you got some messy situations, right? Are the Cowboys finally going to move away from Garrett with the Giants? I mean, it's a total disaster, 1-5. Eli looks completely shot. And Washington's got plenty of issues on their own, and Philadelphia's defense hasn't played great so far this year, although, again, they played better against the Giants. Even though the Eagles got off to this slow start, are they going to end up running away with this division, or will any of the other teams remain competitive?
Well, I mean, you look at what they did in the division last year. They were 5-1 in the division. That only loss was when they sat a lot of people on and off
Right.
The last game of the regular season in Philadelphia. They made a result. I mean, they've owned the Giants as of late. I don't know if they'll necessarily run away with it, but, I mean, what's interesting is they finally played a divisional game this week. They hadn't played anybody in the division at all. I think they're clearly the best team, I think, because of what they have in the trenches. Now, I know Jason Peters hurt with a torn tricep. I think it remains to be seen whether he's going to play through it or not. I mean, but they obviously have some time to figure that out. Of course, they went on to the Super Bowl without him in the second half of the season last year. So, yeah, I think the flaws of the other team, Washington's defense is erratic. Dallas's passing game and offensive inconsistency, and the Giants, along with Eli not playing well, their offensive line is just I mean, it was painful to watch that the other day. I think Eli was sacked four times and hit 13 in that game. And, you know, I hear people talking about him throwing bubble screens. I mean, they were like Mr. Bubble Screens. So,
Russell, Drew Brees this week became the all-time yards leader in the NFL quarterbacks, had a magnificent career. And yet when people talk about the all-time great quarterbacks, they mention Brady, they mention Manning, you know, Montana's in the mix, Marino maybe, even Aaron Rodgers, who's younger. But I feel like Drew Brees gets left out of that. I think that's wrong. I think he belongs in that group. Do you?
Of course he does. And there's a lot to be said for what he's accomplished. And I think because the Saints have more times than not been known as this high-flying circus act, without a defense for them. I mean, you know, a couple of years, the year that Sean Payton was suspended, they gave up the most yards in one season in NFL history. And except for the Super Bowl year, it's been a team that has not been exceptional defense, has not been exceptional running the game. And I think Drew kind of gets a bad rap because he's piling, quote unquote, piling up all these yards because all they do is, quote unquote, throw the football. They were a much more balanced team last year, as you know, Adam. One of my favorite stats from last season, the Saints were fifth in the league in rushing and fifth in the league in passing. They scored 23 touchdowns on the ground and 23 touchdowns through the air. Those are the kind of numbers and defense that will get you another championship. It, you know, all those 5,000-yard seasons haven't amounted to a hill of beans in terms of a title for Drew Brees, and I think that's what people – unfairly or unfairly, we still judge quarterbacks, or most people do, based on their win-loss record, like they were Bob Gibson or Mickey Lolich.
Right, which is, which doesn't really make
it. Saying Mickey Lolich, too,
it's a good name to say. It's a great name to say. if you were starting an NFL team today and had to take one running back on your team, don't forget the contract, but certainly factor in age and health and any of that stuff, but besides the contract, I mean, you know, Alvin Kamara, Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, David Johnson, Saquon Barkley. Maybe I'm forgetting Joe Mixon, maybe. I don't know. Who would you take if you could take one running back?
I think I'd still have to lean Le'Veon Bell.
Okay.
The fact that he amounts to that many carries, can catch the football, can block. I don't think we underestimate the blocking ability. Now, you watch Saquon Barkley, and he's still kind of working on the blocking. And I'm sure Eli would appreciate any more, but he's played six games. But he probably is the guy who compares the most. That's not a knock on the other guys, but you're asking me to who's going to start. And you think about how we spread out the field now and, a one back sets a lot of times. I want somebody who's going to be a reliable pass catcher. It's funny. I watch Ezekiel Elliott, who's more like the old school workhorse.
Yeah.
When they get him downfield as a pass catcher, he's proven he can catch. To me, he's almost a better long-range pass catcher than he is a short-range target. But I think that's why you kind of got to lean Le'Veon Bell still, who, whenever he's coming back, if he's coming back, when he's coming back, he at least is going to be extremely well-rested.
You think reportedly he's going to come back after this game and they have a bye and blah, blah, blah. You think he plays for the Steelers in Week 8, he's traded, or he's still sitting out, if you had to guess?
Well, he's the only player I know who has more reported leads than touchdowns.
Yeah, right, that's true.
Reportedly, he was coming back for Week 1. I kind of was on the idea after the mess of week one that somehow there was going to be a trade orchestrated. And, you know, we still have a couple of weeks for that certainty to happen. I wouldn't rule a trade out. And the team I've thrown out there, regardless of cap or whatever and so on, is the Raiders. And the reason I throw out the Raiders, Adam, is because the Pittsburgh Steelers and Oakland Raiders have already orchestrated two trades with each other. You know as well as anyone, ask the Browns and the Patriots. How many times have they traded with each other over the last couple of years?
Yep.
You get comfortable with a team. And you know that John Gruden's got a little extra collateral from the Khalil Mack trade.
True.
I wouldn't rule out maybe Le'Veon Bell getting warmed up for a game or two and then being dealt.
It'll be fascinating. Russell, good stuff, man. Good to chat with you. We'll talk again soon.
You got it, sir.